Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Been a long show. What do you got going this weekend, buddy?
Not much. I'm getting a haircut tomorrow. That should be exciting.
Nice.
A lot of football on the docket.
Have we really gotten to the point in life where you're like, this big, exciting haircut that I got coming up here?
I only get a haircut once every like 6 months. My hair just refuses to grow. So when I actually do have a haircut, I'm like, all right, here we go. Like when I was in college, where I got the little wings on the side right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to get rid of those.
Yours are so much more tame. Like when mine go wing, there's the widow's peaks, which I absolutely hate and I'm cursed. It's bad enough to be fat. Do you have to also make me with widow's peaks? Mm. But it's more that I just don't like getting my hair cut.
Wait, my bad. No, you don't have a widow's peak. What are you talking about?
No. We admit it. It's okay. We both do. It's all right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We've been cursed, okay? But I just loathe getting my hair cut. I just do.
Why?
I just don't care for it. I don't like having to pay for it. I don't like having to go there. I find the whole thing usually, and because of the way I do it, like I don't go to a barber. All right, that feels like a relationship. I got a lot of relationships in my life. I don't know. Well,
I feel like you'd love your barber if you had a consistent barber.
You talk
to the barber and you get to know the barber, and then the barber becomes a part of your life.
I think it's easier to find somebody to marry than a good barber. When I say good barber, I mean a barber that aligns with what you want.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
What do you want? You just want a good haircut at the end of the day, right?
Well, I want a good haircut. Maybe freshen up the beard a little bit.
Wait, so where do you go, or do you not go to anywhere?
Oh, if it's got clips, if it's got like words like great or best in it,
that's where I go.
And that's probably why I don't like it, because usually there's a stench, you know, like there's something wrong with. And I'm not talking about the place. I've just had a lot of the randomness of it has gotten me to a point where it's not great. Or you're sitting there smelling somebody who didn't take a shower for 2 days. That's happened a few times.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's not fun. I actually go to a salon. I don't even go to a barber.
Wow.
I go to a salon.
What's the difference, by the way? This gets back to scotch and whiskey.
Yeah, no, I can't tell you the difference. I just know it's a salon and not a barber. It is more, there's way more female clients than there is male clients.
Uh-huh.
And they always seem disappointed that they're just, you know, giving me a regular haircut. And I'm only there for like 20 minutes and then I'm on my way.
Yeah, like a barber sees you and is like, it's my guy, JP. A salon, they're like, this is going to be $20. What am I doing?
Yeah, I almost think they're disappointed, you know, because it's not like big, it's not expensive. And so the tip isn't going to be as large because it's not $150 thing that they're doing. So I'm excited for that. That's going to be my weekend. Outside of that, a lot of football, I imagine.
I just don't.
Probably go to a couple restaurants.
How do you pick out a barber?
It's tough. You got to go through it's a rotating revolving door type thing. Like you got to
that's a lot of energy.
No, it is. And the problem is that you can find one you really like. And then these days, haircuts are so expensive. I mean, unless you go to one of those places that starts with great or anything like that, like they really are. They're not cheap these days, man.
So it's funny. I don't know
why they're so expensive, but they're very expensive these days.
All right. I do not love paying for a haircut. But it's more just, it's tedious. Like the idea that I got to audition them or I'm going to go to this one.
Is this like when you mow your lawn and you know a week from now that it's going to come back and what you did a week prior just really isn't going to matter? Is it the idea that the hair grows regardless and so you don't feel like you've accomplished anything or what?
No, it's really just I've never enjoyed getting my hair cut and I just have never found, you know, like my dad wasn't a barber guy either. I feel like if you go to a barber now, it's like a learned behavior. Right? We're like, my dad took me to my barber. My dad went to the same barber for 30 years.
That's how I was growing up.
I don't have that backstory.
I don't have that.
It's a lot.
It's what I had growing up. I don't have that anymore. What's in the docket for you this weekend?
A lot of football. Oh, I'll be on Infinity Sports Network from 12 to 5 on Sunday. You're going to hear about an hour and a half of that right here on 92.3 The Fan.
That's better than my half hour last weekend.
Yeah, so I've made sure. I was like, I got to have one more hour than JP. So I got that. But
no,
mostly,
not that. It's just you got to go really hard in the paint for that hour and a half then.
Yeah.
Like that half hour I was
is that
on.
Where I just whip out some great Cavs or Browns takes?
Well, I don't know about that. But like the very best you have in that hour and a half.
All right, let's go to Nate the Barber here. Nate the Barber, do you introduce yourself as Nate the Barber or do you just introduce yourself as Nate?
No, I introduce myself as Nate. But my name is Nathan Rivera. I'm a barber. I own a shop in Parma Heights. Quick plug to Rivera Barber Company. Listen, man, I would be happy to cut your hair. I'd be happy to get you out of wherever it is that's making you unhappy. And also, tell your partner I'd be happy to get him out of the salon.
Look at that.
Get him into a man spa.
I was going to say, why did we say salon in such a way? Man. Yeah, I don't know. It's what my wife ended up booking for me, and it's the place I like at this point. We tried so many barbers out. I didn't try you out, Nate, but we tried so many places.
You should try out one more, my friend. I'll take care of you.
So, Nate, real quick here, buddy, because I appreciate you calling in. What makes a good, like, what should I be looking for in a barber other than his name's Nate the Barber and he owns a shop in Parma? Like, what makes, what am I looking for?
Sell us.
Yeah, listen, your barber is one of your best friends, man. Your barber listens to you. He understands exactly what you're looking for in your haircut. And when he does get it, here's the best part about a barbershop. You walk in, you sit down. You don't even have to tell this guy anymore. He cuts your hair. You guys have a great conversation. You talk sports. You talk politics, even though you're not supposed to in barbershops. But you talk sports. You talk politics. Hmm. You shoot the S, and then you call it a day. You leave. You hand me a couple bucks. I say, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Hey, Nate, if someone wants to talk Trump with you, are you like, Trump is awesome, but then somebody else comes in and they want to talk about like Joe Biden, and you're like, that Biden guy's great too. Is that how you play it, or do you actually give your real thoughts?
Absolutely not, dude. Biden sucks.
Oh, okay. Wait, real quick.
Hey, that's how we're doing here.
All right. Is my barber, if in this hypothetical situation of me actually going to a barber.
I walked into that.
My question here is, if I only go once every 2 months, is this still going to be the relationship, or do I have to be an every 2 week haircut guy?
No, man. We'll still have that relationship. You're not going to want to wait 2 months. You're going to look good. You're not going to want to wait 2 months. Your wife's going to look at you again. But if you want it to be every 2 months, it can be.
Nate, we appreciate you. Thank you very much there. Good luck on your business. She hasn't stopped looking at me. I would love the idea if this whole time, it wasn't the fatness. It wasn't the high cholesterol. It wasn't, mobility issues. The whole thing holding back anybody's boudoir life was that haircut. That'd just be the funniest thing. Like, of all the things that you could not get, not get extra attention from your significant other for your haircut feels low on the priority list. No,
you know what would be awesome for the both of us?
What's that?
Is if we had one of the wives that just cut their hair for you.
So that's okay. So I grew up. My aunt Nicole.
Yeah.
was a former stylist. So
there you go.
Just anytime I wanted to, I could just pop over and she would cut my hair. And now my sister-in-law is. But no, I can't
do that. Oh, get your
sister-in-law. No,
why
can't
not?
Do it.
If I had a sister-in-law that would cut hair, I would totally let my sister-in-law cut my hair.
So, one...
We do it in the kitchen and everything. I don't care.
I can't do it. She works. She works so damn hard.
See, I just don't trust my wife with scissors, so I would not do that. But like, I mean, it feels like the type of thing that if I don't know, would Vanessa ever learn on like YouTube or something?
So I think,
or is it harder than that?
So I actually think,
I mean, it's harder than that. Specific, it's harder than that. But for all you or I would want, we're asking for is a cut down.
You know what makes it even worse is...
You said you go to a place that start with great. It's not like they're...
I have two sisters-in-law that cut hair, and I don't go to either.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. No, I don't... One, they both are moms who have kids and work their butts off, so I don't want to be like...
It's 20 minutes.
No. And two, I'm a little terrified of having elongated conversations with my sister-in-law.
The problem with that is that we don't have the type of job that is like reciprocal, right? Like some people have a job where it's like, oh, okay, I can cut your hair, but then when I need something in return, then you can go ahead and do that for me from like whatever your job is standpoint. All we have to offer people is just sports opinions.
Maybe that's
like
maybe
we have nothing to offer.
See,
people.
Maybe that's where I can haggle with a barber and not with a stylist. Is I can say, listen. You're going to give me your best haircut, and we're going to trim up this beard. We're going to look great. And I'm going to give you 15 minutes of a segment.
Yeah, I don't know that the trade-off is there.
Well,
it's basically what the conversation is in general.
I mean, think about it, because I can figure out how much we charge for a 60-second read for one of my clients.
Yeah.
And then,
I don't think they're
going to
invoice her at the end of it and be like, here was my convo.
Not with a stylist, but with a barber. Say, all right, let's see, your haircut cost $50, the trim, the shave. That's another $50. All right, my 15 minutes of that segment cost you $500, so that'll be $350 max.
Yeah, let's see how that one goes over for you.
A little bit of breaking news here. I know you've been waiting with bated breath. Roki Sasaki has signed with the LA Dodgers.
I got news for you.
That's just, that's a tough one there.
Yeah, once the Padres were out last night, we kind of saw this one trending in this direction. So the Dodgers are going to win 10 World Series in a row now?
Yeah, that's good.
Is that what's going to happen?
Well, what I really like about
I hate this super team that they have.
I hate that I don't hate them. I don't hate them. I don't hate the Dodgers.
Well, it's because you like Ohtani, and I like Ohtani. Or I'm putting that on you. We haven't discussed this, like Ohtani, and so I can justify a lot of the Dodgers through Ohtani.
I like Ohtani, and I like Mookie Betts, and I like how the Dodgers are. If it was just about screwing over small market teams, they're putting pressure on. If there's two big market teams spending at the level that the Dodgers are, the other one's the Mets, everybody else has some sort of limit on it. So I kind of love exposing.
They have the last great cable deal.
Well, yes, we know why. But the reason why I love this is it might be the thing that can institute change. The New York Yankees and Boston Red Sox have never been the have-nots. They didn't have a chance at Sasaki, right? They didn't have, I mean, they did. They were in the running. But like these teams are not accustomed to being outbid to the level that they're being outbid. So in the end, like, it was never going to be the small market owners rise up and take down
the big market
owners.
Sasaki had nothing to do with the financial aspect of this all because it was just the international.
It's Ohtani. It's all the big money. Like, I do think that there's becoming a gap within the 1% and like the 10% that I think eventually, I think the Steinbrenners are going to get upset at being honestly that second tier of spending. And I think they, plus the Fenway group, plus, you know, the Blue Jays group, like, I think those guys banding together and creating a hard cap and a hard floor, awful terminology, but basically addressing the true financial disparity might be the one way that we can ever get back to a point where the Guardians have a chance in free agency again.
It's a lot of wishful thinking. I hope you're right in the long term. I don't think this is going to change baseball at all. I really
do love how I just put my heart out there. I know. And you just crapped all over it.
Sorry.
Like, first Nate the Barber.
If I believed in it, I wouldn't have done it that way.
Danny Cannell, college football analyst, next on 92.3 The Fan. The national championship is on Monday. JP and I will not be on air, so this is our last chance to talk about it. And we're going to do something big here, welcoming on college football analyst Danny Cannell on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And Danny's coming on courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for a plethora of college football playoff final game lines plus opening odds for the 2026 college football playoff.
Danny, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
I am fantastic. Great to be on with you guys. A little bittersweet. The college football season drawing to a close, which always makes me a little bit sad, but I think we got a pretty good matchup Monday night.
Yeah, it's interesting. Ohio State fans feeling very confident in this matchup. They should. They're about almost 10-point favorites. I'm curious, how serious of a chance do you give Notre Dame to take this game?
It's college football, so like I give them a pretty good chance, but there's very clearly a reason why Ohio State is the favorite, right? They have, like I've done all week on my radio show, like we've analyzed every position group that's out there, and almost every one you would give the edge to Ohio State. Maybe the secondary you'd give the edge to Notre Dame, but everywhere else, receiver, running back,
offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, I think you give the edge to Ohio State. Like, so it does make sense there. But, like, it's college football. And, like, we've seen teams be very volatile this season, including Ohio State, right? It wasn't that long ago that they were playing Michigan as almost a 3-touchdown favorite, and they just kind of laid an egg. But I do feel like that's what it would probably take for Notre Dame to pull off the upset, is really for Ohio State to, like, screw this up and to not have a great game and to, like, turn the ball over, which Notre Dame will try to do. They'll try to force turnovers. They'll try to force the issue. But I do think that's what would have to happen. I mean, I do think Ohio State, if they play clean, if they play the way they're capable of and make good decisions, I think they should win this game. But I do think Notre Dame can make it close.
Well, if you've done the positional matchups, I'm curious, did you do the coaching matchup? Like, who's got the advantage there between Ryan Day and Marcus Freeman?
Oh, man, that's a good one. So we went more into the coordinators, which, again, they're really good matchups, like, within the game. And, like, when I look at Chip Kelly versus Al Golden, the two coordinators, Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator for Ohio State, versus Al Golden, the Notre Dame defensive coordinator, that, to me, is the matchup of the game. And, again, like, where's the significant edge? There's a lot of very, very close ones. Like, the player ones, I think, are pretty easy. The coaching matchups, I think, are more significant and a little bit tougher. But, like, as far as the head coaches, I mean, I think you have to go with Ryan Day. And it's, as much as I like Marcus Freeman, and I know Ryan Day has taken a lot of heat, he's been in more of these situations. And I know, you know, a Ryan Day critic will say, well, he hasn't won many of these. Well, neither has Marcus Freeman. And again, Marcus Freeman lost a game that was probably way worse as a 4-touchdown favorite at home against Northern Illinois. But I think it has to go to Ryan Day, just a slight edge, even though they're both kind of, they're at different points in their career, and Marcus Freeman is the up-and-comer. He's the hot name that's getting a lot of NFL love right now. That was Ryan Day a few years ago, right? I mean, he was in that same position. So I think it's pretty close, but I'll give the slight edge to Ryan Day because he's been in more of these games.
Danny, one of the talking points about this game is that, you know, it's neither of these teams would have been in this position if not for the expanded playoffs. Do you think that in the eyes of some college fans, this will cheapen the title that you know, traditionally, not even last year, neither one of these teams would have been in the Final Four, ergo it's a kind of new era?
I love it, because anybody that says they shouldn't be in this game, look at the gauntlet both of these teams just ran through, right? I mean, you, for Ohio State, for what they did, Tennessee, a team from the SEC who they housed, Oregon, the number one team in the country, who they housed, and then Texas in Dallas, you know, at the Cotton Bowl, to beat them the way they did. And I know it was a close game, but that was more than a worthy opponent. Like, I'm okay with giving a team a pass for one bad game. Like, it happens. And we see that happen all the time in the NFL. And I think this is more a truer test because we have more teams that are in that get the opportunity. But then the gauntlet that you have to run through to win the national championship, I think it's a better way to determine the national champion, and I don't think it diminished the regular season. There were several teams who had bad losses, like Alabama, who lost to Vanderbilt, like Ole Miss, who lost to Kentucky, but it wasn't just one or two, it was three. It was their third loss, and so I do think the regular season still penalizes you, and I think they still value that. And tell me Ohio State fans, it doesn't crush them that they lost to Michigan, right? Those losses in the regular season still hurt. So I don't think it's diminished anything. I think it's made things more entertaining and a more creditable, worthy champion, the team that's the last one standing.
Danny, Will Howard spent yesterday telling everyone that nobody wants to give him any credit, and he loves that, though. He's like, keep it coming, but nobody wants to give me any credit. Do you feel like he's not getting enough credit?
I feel like he is now, but through the majority of the season, probably not. And, you know, it was interesting because I liked him when he was at Kansas State. He won a Big 12 championship. I thought he was a really good, like, really good skill set. And I thought he was going to be a really good fit for Chip Kelly. But I think, but my one question was, how would he handle the pressure of being the Ohio State QB? Like, it is a unique animal that there's probably only a couple other schools that you can even relate that to, with the amount of pressure. Like, in the first couple games that you win, but man, you had a couple incompletes and an interception. What was wrong with you? You know, like, and they're holding you up to guys like C.J. Stroud and Justin Fields, who put up phenomenal numbers, where it's almost like you can never keep everybody happy. There's that expectation unless you win a national championship. And throughout the season, like, it did look like Will Howard was a part of the problem, in some of their losses, right? He comes up, you know, slides just a second too late against Oregon. Even though he went toe-to-toe with Dillon Gabriel and played just as good as him, it kind of felt like his fault. And so I was very curious to see how he'd rebound, and he did. He goes to Penn State, starts the game early with a pick six, rebounds. Against Michigan, he has two interceptions, probably his worst game. What does he do? He rebounds and plays close to flawless in the playoffs. So I think he has been kind of underappreciated by everyone, national media and even Ohio State fans. And I think he's realizing, you know what, the best way to silence him is to win the national championship, which it looks like he's on the verge of as long as he takes care of business. But he's been phenomenal. Like, statistically, he's been off the charts, but I don't think he's been given the credit that he probably deserves.
Danny Cannell on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And Danny is brought to you by our friends over there at Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for a plethora of college football playoff final game lines plus opening odds for the 2026 college football playoff.
Danny, Texas did something that I didn't know was possible, and that was slow down Jeremiah Smith. Is Notre Dame equipped to slow down Jeremiah Swift the way Texas certainly did for a good deal of that game?
Yes, but they can't be stubborn, and I'll explain, because what Texas did was play more of a bend-don't-break. They limited the man-to-man opportunities. They played more zone coverage, and they kept safety help over the top. Notre Dame plays more man-to-man coverage on defense than anybody in the country. Like, they trust their DBs and safeties to go one-on-one with the best talent in the country. If they do that, if I'm watching the game and I see them lined up in man-to-man coverage as much as they do, I will probably live bet Ohio State, because you might have great talent, but Jeremiah Smith and Emeka Buka and Carnell Tate, and then you can put the running backs out there too. Like, it's just a mismatch. It doesn't matter how good you are. So that, to me, will determine the fate of this game, because, like you mentioned, Texas did show you a game plan. You don't have to get toasted by Jeremiah Smith, but you do have to dedicate coverage to him, and you have to dedicate attention to him. And if you do that, you force him to get patient. You force Will Howard not to, you know, force the football to him, and you kind of make Ohio State do something they don't want to do, which is drive the ball more methodically down the field. Because as a quarterback, trust me, if you have a player like Jeremiah Smith, you see man-to-man coverage, you are absolutely licking your chops saying, let's dial up our big plays, let's take some shots down the field. I trust my guy's going to make a play or nobody else. So I will that's the matchup everyone's going to be watching, is what does Notre Dame's secondary do with Jeremiah Smith? And I think you'll get an early on of what Al Golden's game plan is going to be.
Danny, going up against the NFL is not smart on Saturday or Sunday, but do you feel like the game should be tonight instead of Monday?
I'm kind of like, I've been lulled into this because, you know, since this playoff, even the 14 playoff has been around, it's been on this Monday night, so I've kind of gotten used to it. You know, we do see Monday night football. Last week we had a Monday night playoff game, but yeah, in a perfect world, I wish we played it on a Saturday night, you know, like, and like figure it out. Like, in a perfect, perfect world, I would say the season finishes on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, right? I mean, that's kind of what I grew up with. I think that was the golden era of college football, was when you had bowl games that led up and the culmination was a massive holiday, and you had multiple games New Year's Eve and on New Year's Day, like I said. And the Rose Bowl would probably be the national championship every single year in Pasadena. But as we've seen, networks get in the way, bowls get in the way, you know, expanded seasons, more games get in the way. But I've gotten kind of used to it on Mondays. But I tell you, I didn't hate the Thursday-Friday. I know they didn't rate as well, but I kind of liked that weekend, the setup of Thursday night, Friday night, semifinal games, and then wild card football all weekend long. I thought that was pretty amazing, even though the NFL had laid some complete duds. Mm-hmm. I loved it from the perspective of, like, if we got good games, that weekend could be really special.
Danny, one of my great annoyances with our radio brethren is boiling everything down to, did it have good ratings or not? And right. That said, the playoff ratings have not kind of been what they hoped. Certainly, even in the Cotton Bowl, that's an elite matchup. So I'm just curious whether you think whether you have any working theory on whether that's schedule, whether that's just how they fell, or if you really kind of have any idea kind of why maybe this didn't pop the way maybe college football had hoped.
Oh, I think it's very much about the Thursday-Friday aspect of it. You know, it's just there's a lot of stuff people have going on. I even think this year in itself, with Christmas and New Year's falling midweek, Wednesday, Thursday, I think that kind of threw everybody for a loop. But I do think sports fans are programmed to weekend. And then even if you're watching every sport on the weekend, let's say you're watching NFL on the weekend like they are this weekend, you'll get the promo for the Monday night game. So you'll be, oh, yeah, that's right, that game is on. Where if you're not really paying attention, if you're going to work every day and you're coming home and you're sitting in front of your couch, you might forget there's a game on Thursday night if you're just a casual. So I do think it was about that. And then I also do think, you know, there were some brands that were left out, which I'm actually loving the fact that we got some fresh blood in there. But and we had monster brands in the semifinal. But I do think without Alabama in there, which has been, you know, the team that people get used to seeing, I do think some of that took away from it. But I think primarily it was about the Thursday, Friday night aspect of it.
Do you like the Ryan Day, Lou Holtz feud?
It's kind of weird, right? Like, it's kind of interesting that Ryan Day, for his nemesis, has picked an 88-year-old former coach who's retired, who doesn't really do a lot in media, except when he's trolling Ryan Day. It's kind of funny. I'm here for it because it gives us a lot to talk about, but it is just one of those bizarre ones that doesn't make sense. And then I was trying to decipher who was tweeting for Lou Holtz because that response, it was kind of odd. Like, was that Lou typing it into his phone saying he's going to be there, but now he's dragging his body along with his spirit? Like, there was just some odd, there was some oddness to it. So I guess I kind of like it, but even though it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Danny,
like, I missed the Ryan Day, Jim Harbaugh made way more sense. And that one, like, I was here for. That felt like bad blood. And I like Ryan Day, I don't think he loves Lou Holtz. I think Lou Holtz is just loving it because it puts his name back in the landscape.
So we had this debate earlier with another guest talking about this. I have said I think it's if Lou Holtz stepped out a line with me, I think it's if you don't yell back at him, you're being an ageist. If Lou Holtz went after you, would you go back at him or would you just let him have a pass?
Oh, so I don't know if you guys know this, but Lou Holtz is a member at Augusta National, and that is one of my dreams in life, and one of my goals is to actually be able to play there. And I almost, when he was at ESPN, I almost got invited into a foursome. I was like the odd man out at the last minute. So I'm still holding out hope. So I would just do whatever he said. I would bow down to him. I wouldn't acknowledge it. I'd just be like, you're right, coach. When are we going to play Augusta?
That's worth
the
trip.
That would be my response.
Yeah, that's worth the trip. Instead, you just be friends with Condoleezza Rice. It's okay.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Also, that plays until like the 16th hole and you shake something or you shank something and Lou starts teasing you. I'm going to tell you, Danny, you snap real quick, 88 years old or not.
Now, Danny, once you're on the course, then it turns into Bob Barker and Adam Sandler and Happy Gilmore. Then everything
exactly.
goes.
Exactly. Once I'm out there, it's all bets are off the table. I can say whatever I want because that'll probably be the last time I'd ever get to play. So you're right. Then the trash talk would be opened up for sure.
Danny, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy the game. Enjoy the little bit of college football we have left.
And have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Danny Cannell there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
And Danny, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for a plethora of college football playoff final game lines plus opening odds for the 2026 college football playoff.
In case we missed it, wraps up the show at about 6:43 on 92.3 The Fan.